Okay, greetings, friends, family, and fellow saints saved by grace. This is Dan Kraft of Stirred Not Shaken Ministry, bringing you the August of 2021 update. This ministry is dedicated to putting the spotlight on erroneous doctrines that have infiltrated the church. We also bring to light issues in the news that get twisted or buried by the liberal media. Our intention is to keep you informed and aware so you won't be misled into developing erroneous attitudes concerning issues of our day. In a world full of deception, this in turn will help prevent us from burning time, energy, and the focus of our lives. The enemy of our souls would like nothing better than to distract and mislead us into wasting the time given to us by a patient and loving Father God. It is my hope that we use our time righteously and not waste it, as Jesus told Saul, kicking against the pricks. This ministry, like an alarm clock for the church, is crying, "Wake up, saints! The time is short, the door is ajar, and our King is coming back." Okay, saints, this month we have a special guest, L.A. Marzulli, who is going to talk to us about an area he specializes in, the supernatural, specifically to what we used to call UFOs. Generally, people, and that includes inside the church walls, either discount the whole subject as hoaxes or believe that we are being visited from aliens from another galaxy. Brother L.A. is going to give us insight into a different possible explanation, one that examines the ever-growing evidence from a Christian worldview. Now, first, a little on our intrepid guest. L.A. Marzulli is an author, lecturer, and filmmaker. He has penned 12 books, including the Nephilim Trilogy, which made the CBA bestsellers list. Based on his work on the trilogy, L.A. received an honorary doctorate from his mentor, Dr. I.D.E. Thomas, who was a provost at Pacific International University. He was also honored with the Gold Medallion Award from Chuck Missler at the K-House Conference in 2014. Love Chuck. His book series on the Trail of the Nephilim, Volumes 1 and 2, are full-color, oversized volumes which reveal startling evidence of a massive cover-up of what he believes to be the remains of the Nephilim, the giants mentioned in the Bible. L.A. teamed up with film producer Richard Shaw to create the Watcher series, which grew to an 11-episode catalog. And one of those installments, Watcher 7, UFO Physical Evidence, won both the UFO Best Film and the People's Choice Award at the UFO Congress in 2014. L.A. released his first independent film in March of 2017, the first installment of the new series, The Watchman Chronicles, titled In Their Own Words, UFOs Are Real. Now, this hard-hitting expose on the burgeoning UFO phenomena is geared toward the skeptic and is a wake-up call to what Marzulli calls the coming Great Deception. L.A., welcome to the SNS podcast, brother. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on, Dan. Appreciate it.
All right, man. I know your time is precious, so we're going to get right to the questions, okay?
Sure.
You've been on this subject from a Christian perspective for a number of years. Considering the recent official report released by the Government Task Force on UAPs, or Unidentified Aerial Phenomena, or what we used to call UFOs, what is the biggest takeaway from that report?
Well, the big takeaway is that basically it was a nothing burger. Most of us figured that they weren't going to release anything. Give you a perspective, there were 9 pages in that report, and you compare that to over 1,000 pages of another government study on bovine flatulence. So UFOs, which will change everything when they really show up, it'll change the entire planet in a heartbeat, gets 9 pages, and bovine flatulence gets over 1,000.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, there's...
The report,
go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. The report was a big nothing burger. What's interesting is they're obfuscating all day long. They know exactly where they're from, what's going on. Some people on the inside know that they're demonic. J.L. and Honick believe that that it was more akin to something demonological than extraterrestrial. and other people have taken that position. Of course, I do too. The bottom line is this. They released the information, and the takeaway was, well, out of 144 cases that we studied, we only found one that we could dismiss. So that means there's 143 cases that they know about, and there's more every day, but we won't go into that. And the 143, they have no explanation for it. So, like I said, it's just a typical Texas two-step. No offense to the great state of Texas, but it's just the typical nonsense that we get from our government.
Yeah.
For a straight answer.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know I'm going to go off script right away here, but it seemed to me that they finally acknowledged there's craft out there that they don't know where they're from or who they are.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, at least they acknowledge that there's the craft are real, that it makes maneuvers which defy our physics. I mean, they talked about all that.
Yeah.
So. That's interesting, but it's, you know, you would think that maybe some more pictures, something, not a doggone thing. So we basically, from 2017, which is when Commander David Traver appeared for the first time on Tucker Carlson's show, till the present day, I mean, you know, you can do the math. You're looking at 4 years, almost 4 years, basically 3.5 years, of constant information on disclosure. They released a report, and then all of a sudden it goes away. Then we're not hearing anything about it.
Is that the pilot that said that this craft was not of this world?
Correct. That's Commander David Traver.
Yeah.
Whatever this was is not from this earth.
Yeah, fascinating. So, okay, in your opinion, is this just another step in making the general public more malleable to accepting these craft and their inhabitants as otherworldly or alien?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is what I call becoming great deception. It might happen if there's some sort of a nuclear exchange on the planet. That would certainly act as a lever, let's say, maybe to make them tip their hand.
Right.
We don't know. I mean, we don't know. But the bottom line is this. Whenever they appear in mass and just sit there, and the world is stunned by what they're looking at. So the technology is so far advanced from what we have, it's just ridiculous. Really, it's ridiculous. It's like a Spanish galleon in the 15th century. Compare that to a nuclear submarine. Good luck, right?
Right,
that's
right.
That's how far ahead they are. I mean, just like completely otherworldly, literally. But when they show up, they will say that they created all life on this planet, that they started the world's civilization, that they genetically manipulated early man, that they started the world's religions, and now at this critical juncture in human time, they, IEET, are back to usher mankind into a golden age.
Yeah.
And that's precisely, in my opinion, what they will say, and people will lap this up. Look, the globe, when they show up and say this, that we created you, that we were your progenitors, you got to remember this, that the Darwinists are godless. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in moral absolutes. They don't believe in miracles or the supernatural. None of those things factor in their worldview at all. So the neo-Darwinists realize that Darwinism by itself is a fallacy, because now that they know about the coding system, which is responsible for creating all life on this planet. Of course, I'm speaking of the DNA double helix miracle of life, that structure, the oxyribonucleic acid, that double helix of life, which a complex coding system, everything on this planet that's alive has a DNA code. So they realize, the neo-Darwinists realize, that, wait a minute, this just didn't jump into just manifested by itself. Somebody had to create this thing.
So is this
one of the co-discoveries of DNA, Watson and Crick. So Crick was a vexed man because he realized that, you know what, you can take all the primordial slime you want, but you're not going to get this complex coding system. somebody made this somewhere.
Is it?
We've been scientists now with the one of the world's leading geneticists and evolutionists, not geneticists, but evolutionists. And he basically asked the guy, well, in your opinion, how did this start? Where did the first self-replicating molecule come from? And Richard Dawkins, who Stein is interviewing, has no answer. Dawkins says, well, we don't know. So they don't know where the first self-replicating molecule comes from. But they're so sure about evolution. So Stein won't let up and says, well, you know, if you don't know, where do you think it came from? And he says, well, it would have had to have originated by some form of higher intelligence in some galaxy far, far away.
Yeah.
So the question is, that's circular reasoning, because who made the people that made the DNA?
Yeah.
Where did their DNA come from? So it goes around and around and around. And of course, as Bible believing Christians, we believe that Jesus spoke everything into existence, that he fearfully and wonderfully made us, that he designed us. He designed us. And that when we go to the molecular structure of DNA, what we see are the fingerprints of the supernatural. We see the handiwork of a divine loving being known as Jehovah, or the God of the Bible. And of course, his son, which came and died for us, Jesus. And, you know, it says in Colossians that all things were made by him, and nothing that was made, all things, he is before all things, and he holds all things together.
Right.
So it's like all things were made through him. You know, whether rulers, dominions, authorities,
We're kind of jumping around here, jumping a little bit ahead, brother, but that's okay. This would be what they call intelligent design, only they refuse to accept the intelligent designer being God.
Yeah, they do. The neo-Darwinists are looking at some form of intelligent design, and they're looking to the extraterrestrial as the completion of that.
Ellie, do they call that, is that called panspermia?
Panspermia is the idea that we were seeded here from another galaxy.
Yeah. Okay. I know, I got these questions written ahead of time, so we might be a little redundant here. In light of your years, and how many years have you been doing this, by the way?
Research started when I was a kid, when I was about 16.
So you've been at it for...
I started looking at all this stuff. Peter Tompkins, Secrets of the Great Pyramid. I read all the Carlos Castaneda books. Eric von Däniken's classic work, Chariots of the Gods. I mean, I was a student of the arcane and the occult. I was with a guru for 3 years. My third eye was open. From basically 16 to 30, I was a pagan. I was immersed in the New Age. And then at 30, I became born again and spirit filled. That's 41 years ago. I'm now 70 years old.
Yeah.
So when I was 40, the Lord circled back and said, okay, remember all that stuff you were into? Guess what? We're going to get back into it. And that's what happened. And my first mentor, Dr. I.D.E. Thomas, was the gentleman, the scholar, that his book, The Omega Conspiracy, changed my life. We took on his mantle, and here we are. So let's do the math. It's been 30 years.
Yeah, you've been at it a long time, bro.
Yeah.
Long time. And I know this, again, might sound somewhat redundant, but in your years of studying this, where are these UAPs or UFOs from?
Repeat that question one more time, please.
Where are these UAPs or UFOs from?
Well, I believe, first of all, that they're not interdimensional. Not extraterrestrial. I believe they are interdimensional. So right there, that we have to explore those terms. Extraterrestrial basically means any life that originates outside this planet. You could make a case that Jesus was an extraterrestrial because he did originate from outside the planet on some level. You could say that.
Right.
But of course, Jesus is not an extraterrestrial. He's fully God and fully man. But, you know, angels are extraterrestrials because they didn't originate on this planet. Lucifer, the dragon, this is his home planet. This is where he rules, but he didn't originate here either. So the extraterrestrial hypothesis is one that these entities are from some other planet someplace. The interdimensional hypothesis, which is the one I hold to, believes that these entities are, in fact, the Watchers, the fallen angels, the ones that rebelled against the Most High God.
I wholeheartedly agree with you, bro. So the next question that I kick around with people is, are these crafts spectral or nuts and bolts materials? In other words, are they actual solid objects?
Yeah, they are. I mean, there's no doubt about that. The craft, there are nuts and bolts. And it's actually, what's interesting here is and I'm going to go off on a little bit of a rabbit trail.
Go ahead.
But Gary Stearman had an encounter. And when we go into the book, into the Bible, we see that Elisha, Elijah's servant, who inherits Elijah's mantle, Elisha tells his servant, "Go out, Gehazi, go out and look at the sky. Just go out." And he prays, "Lord, show him what's going on." And the Lord opens the servant Gehazi's eyes, and he sees the chariots of fire encamped all around the Syrian army. Well, what are those chariots of fire? That is a $24,000 question. And in my opinion, both the good guys and the bad guys are using this technology. So you say, well, why do fallen angels need UFOs, or why do the good angels need UFOs? I have no answer for that, but there's technology. And it appears that sometimes they use these craft for various purposes. When Elijah is taken up on a whirlwind, you know, this chariot appears. There's nothing in Elisha's grid that would enable him to even talk about what he's looking at. Same thing with Ezekiel. When God comes riding in on his version of a 1957 Chevy convertible, Ezekiel has no idea what he's looking at. You know, it's alive. The craft is alive.
Right.
So it's complex. It's really complex, Dan.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We see through a glass darkly.
Yeah.
And only see, you know, part of the puzzle, as it were.
Yep. Yep. So again, and I know we're kind of doubling back here a little bit. These beings inside these crafts are not interplanetary visitors, but actual agents of Lucifer. Correct?
That's what I believe. Absolutely.
Yeah. And, all right, here's a big one. How could these aliens fit into a biblical worldview? Could they be part of an end-time prophetic events?
Well, they are. Jesus warns us that men would faint for fear from what is coming upon the earth, that even the elect would be deceived if that were possible. Paul says, Satan comes with all signs of lying wonders. Jesus warns us it will be like the days of Noah when he returns. What differentiates the days of Noah is the presence of the fallen watcher angels. See, if we don't get Genesis 3:15 right, then you might as well just throw the rest of the Bible out, because you'll never understand what's going on. And you'll wind up in outer space someplace, you know, going like, wow, I don't understand this thing. Because Genesis 3:15 talks about the seed war. Literally, it talks about the seed of the dragon, the seed of the serpent, the offspring of the serpent, offspring of the dragon, will be at enmity at war with the offspring, the seed of the woman. That seed is the Messiah, who will come and crush the dragon's head. The dragon will bruise his heel. Well, that sets up the narrative. Three chapters later, the dragon goes, well, no seed of the woman is going to get me. All we have to do is contaminate the gene pool. And so the watcher angels go down, they have sex with the women, and only 8 people were saved. Which is why the text says, but Noah was pure in all his generation.
Right.
So he's sinless, says he was pure. And out of the entire Tanakh, the Old Testament, why
it,
is it, our
yeah.
Lord...
It, just makes so much sense. You know, it all fits together, and yet there's so much resistance to that idea. You know, the Genesis 6, that fallen angels had carnal knowledge with the.
Well, like I said, unless you get Genesis 3:15 right, when you get to Genesis 6, you've got to start tap dancing. When you get to the Tower of Babel, same thing. When you get to Abraham and the five kings, what's going on there? When you get to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, you scratch your head. Finally, when you get to the conquest of Canaan, and the loving, holy God of the Bible says to Joshua and Caleb, wipe them all out, men, women, and children. Kill all the animals, burn everything. Whoa! That's genocide. No way around it, guys. It's genocide. Unless what we're looking at is a hybrid entity which is never supposed to be there. Then you skip to the book of Revelation, and you take the mark of the beast, you wind up in the lake of fire. Why is that? What is in that mark that would change you so that you're irredeemable? Well, your DNA is changed, and you become the seed of the dragon. In other words, you become a modern-day Nephilim, in my opinion. Hmm. That's what you become. And so unless a person understands Genesis 3:15, you can't figure out the Bible, in my opinion. Because you'll make something up. Or you'll go, well, that doesn't make any sense. Oh, that must be allegorical. What differentiates the days of Noah? Jesus warns us. It'll be like the days of Noah when I return. And the differentiation is the fallen angels corrupting the sea, corrupting the genome. Guess what? That's what's going on in the abduction phenomenon.
Right, right. Fascinating stuff, brother. Fascinating. You kind of answered this already. In fact, you did, but I was going to ask you, is this part of what you call the Luciferian endgame?
Absolutely. This is the Luciferian endgame. It's been in the works for a long time.
Yep. I don't understand why so many pastors and leaders ignore this subject, you know, as this evidence of these UFOs gets more and more pronounced. I mean, at some point they have got to address it, or the pew sitters, you know, the brethren, they're going to get shaken really badly, unless, you know, they have at least look into it. I always tell people, watch the first Watchers video. You know, I says, hey, just consider it. What LA's saying, and get a lot of resistance to that around here, but. Anyway, here's a question for you, L.A. How could aliens explain away the rapture of the church?
Well, that's exactly what they're going to do. And I've heard this before I was a Christian, decades ago. And basically, it was this, that they're going to say that we took these people off the planet because they weren't ready for the new religion, the quantum leap. I mean, why would Obama, a couple of weeks ago, why would he say that when they show up, there's going to be new religion? How does he know that?
That's strange.
Right? How does he know that?
Yeah, that's strange. Yeah, what was it years ago that the New Age movement was saying something about people will have to be, the people resistant to the next step in evolution or whatever would have to be removed out of the way? I don't know if...
There's that, and there's also the idea that there's now a Netflix series coming up in the fall.
Oh, yeah?
The premise for it is 200 million people have gone missing.
Oh, get out, really?
Yeah, 200 million people have gone missing. So that sounds like the rapture to me.
Yeah, so what, they're going to explain it away?
Sure.
Yeah.
Exactly what they'll do. They'll say that we have to take these people because they weren't ready for the quantum leap. So we took them someplace else where they would be able to, you know, be okay.
Wow. I didn't know that was coming up. All right, LA, how close are we to the next step in the in this grand deception?
Well, you know, again, I have no idea.
Well, in your opinion, brother, I know you can't, you know, say for certain, but
I think we're close to seeing something. I mean, you look at what's going on the planet; it's just unbelievable. I mean, it really is. It's unprecedented. I've never seen anything like it. So yeah. I think we're close to seeing something. I'm not sure what that is and how it's all going to work out, but we're close. We're close to seeing something.
Yeah, yeah.
Cancer.
I don't know, brother. Exciting times. And like you said, there's deception everywhere. You consider how the public is buying all this crap that's going on in government. It just... But, anyway, the devil, he's a busy dude. He's working hard. But anyhow, brother, I know your time is precious. And I didn't want to take up too much of it. This has been a very thought-provoking conversation. And perhaps we can hear more from you somewhere down the road, maybe 4 or 5 months. In the meantime, Saints, please avail yourself of the information provided on LA's website. LA, can you want to share that where you can plug your materials?
Yeah, I mean, basically, folks, there's a free film which I re-edited and made available to the public because I think it's that important. It's free. You can go to streaming.lamarzulli.net. Streaming.lamarzulli.net. The film is called Disclosure: The Coming Great Deception and the Luciferian Endgame. You can download it for free and watch it. All I would ask is that you share it, that you pass it forward. It's that important, folks.
Yeah. Yeah, and I would add, you know, sample some of LA's material. At least consider what he has to say. It's been a pleasure having you on, brother. Thank you.
All right, man. God bless you. Thank you.
All right. All right, Saints. That's it for this month's podcast. Please consider the information and conclusions that Brother L.A. Marzulli has let us in on. If your curiosity has been tweaked, please avail yourself of the material on his website. And until next time, keep looking up, for our redemption is drawing nigh. This is Dan Kraft of Certain Not Shaken Ministry. May God bless you and Maranatha.